Welcome to the Felix Umbridge Show.
Are we hot?
We are.
We're hot.
We are. We are live.
We're live. I don't know if we're hot, but
maybe. Considering we are just worms.
Maybe back in the day, but yeah. That was a long time ago. All right.
There was a different president back then.
Yeah. We're back. We're back. We're here.
It's been a little bit of little downtime. A
couple weeks. Yeah. Had to get a couple conventions out of the way. We'll get to those.
Yeah. Good fun on those. Good fun.
Yeah. This is the welcome to the Felix Umbridge podcast.
Good old Felix.
Yeah. Felix Umbridge.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Oddly enough, he wasn't able to make it today. It's rare.
Surprising.
Very rare that he doesn't make his own podcast, but he couldn't make it.
We did appreciate getting the call to fill in for him, however. Yeah. But what happened to him?
Well, Felix, he's been watching TV, and apparently Joe Biden is going to finally come out of the basement because they did ignore the riots for 2 weeks. Joe Biden finally said he's going to come out and speak to the protests, and... Felix didn't want to miss this. You know, he's certain that Biden's speech will be well thought out and will reflect true leadership. He's still waiting.
I was going to say, I'm on the edge of my chair. So he called. If I was any more on the edge of my chair, I'd fall off.
So he's called us in to fill in the rare event that Felix isn't here. He has us fill in for him. So
yes.
Yeah, so he's waiting for the very important Biden announcement on how he's going to handle the riots. And until then, it looks like we're going to be covering.
I think we might be covering for him for a while.
Yeah. There's.
Well, because we don't matter.
We don't.
We don't. We are the most horribly disparaged and marginalized identity group in the cross-sectional universe.
Right. We are white, old Republican men. We're worms.
Worms.
Worms. Oh, what do we have for refreshments today?
Well, refreshments today are fancy in a bottle. However, we have foregone the adult nature of the beverage.
For once, we are not going to do this podcast shit-faced.
Well, wait a minute. Speak for yourself. I was drinking before you stopped.
You no good. You cheater. Not me. No, this is my, this is not the first thing I've drank today, but this is the, there we go. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, this is good stuff. So this fresh libation is a sparkling.
It's a nice
carbonated mineral water.
Yeah. Topo Chico.
Topo Chico. It's actually been around for 125 years.
Wow. But not this particular bottle.
Well, we don't know that.
Let me try this.
It does say 125 years.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's got a little mineral, bit of... Yeah. I mean, this mineral water is almost as old as Biden.
Anyways, so we are going to cover, I think, the conventions today and kind of
do that. There was all kinds of crazy news going on.
Some crazy stuff. But there are some other things happening out there, and I would like to do the rapid fire round.
Rapid fire.
Yeah, rapid fire. And read off some of these things that are happening that are not being reported, you know, by the standard news networks.
Rapid fire.
U.S. Marshals found 39 missing children in Georgia during a two-week mission called Operation Not Forgotten. Nine people were arrested on sex trafficking, parental kidnapping, custodial interference, and registered sex offender violence charges. I'm kind of glad those cops hadn't been defunded, aren't you?
that part is helpful.
Yeah. They came in handy.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some parents out there. And the children who are very happy
that
the police were around.
Here's something. Retail sales bounced back past their pre-corona levels in August. Despite the overhyped flu panic lockdowns, volumes rose by 3.6% from the previous month, and August of this year is 1.4% higher than last year, August of last year, which is ironic considering the lockdowns. This does represent a sharp recovery from double-digit falls seen in April and May.
But you'll never get that information.
Oh, we can't allow this.
Oh, no.
You know, I say
God forbid there's any good economic news out there.
The panic porn we got to double down on. Was it the second wave? Well, the second wave! Elon Musk showcases a new working version of the Neuralink brain implant on a pig.
Okay.
This technology might someday link brains with computers. That's comforting.
That's all we need is smart pigs. There goes my bacon for breakfast.
You know what I'm thinking?
Those humans are going to kill us and eat us. Let's run.
Well, I'm hoping to get a Neuralink when I go get my forced COVID vaccine. Maybe they can do them right at the same time. I'm thinking it'll come in really handy when the mask Gestapo are out there. And so if they see you without your mask on, they don't have to say anything. They could just give you a little electrical shock right through your pig chip. In New York State, the Cuomo administration is under investigation for its decision to mandate that nursing homes accept known COVID-positive patients, resulting in over 6,500 deaths, while also prohibiting homes from even testing patients with COVID-19 prior to admission. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that chapter is going to be in his book about how he saved the world.
Right.
Yeah. Appendage B. I don't think so.
A new
Cuomo. Yeah. The CDC has updated their website. And it seems that only as of this moment, I think these numbers will change, but it seems only 9,683 people have actually died of COVID. They adjusted their number down from 143,000.
Right,
to 9,683. That is 0.0002 of the population. Or another way to say that is your chances of dying of COVID in the United States is 1 out of 35,000. I like those odds.
Yeah, I'll take those to Vegas.
Right. And that's it. That's what I got for rapid fire. Woohoo! Cheers to you.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Get through these libations.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Good stuff. Let's get the old news out of the way. There's a couple of conventions.
Yeah, we had two conventions. DNC was first, and that was, at this point, probably almost 3 weeks ago, I think, right? And then RNC was last week. So.
Right.
And we always record a few days after the event, so we aren't known for our cutting edge.
What's your takeaway from the DNC?
DNC. All right, so the DNC first. So generally, takeaway on the DNC is that I found it to be a snooze fest. It was like the who's who's of the 1980s in politics. It was all old hats. The few opportunities they could have used the convention to showcase up and comings, they kind of didn't bother.
I was kind of surprised by that too.
Right, because Obama, he first got noticed at a DNC convention. Kennedy first got noticed at a DNC convention. It's usually a good opportunity to show, hey, these are the young ones coming up that you got to keep an eye on. They didn't. It was too much. Trump, bad orange man, bad production quality. It was boring. I just straight up, I found it boring. Trump. They wasted 4 nights expressing a hatred for Trump. I mean, that's
all it was.
Trump. I mean, if you played a drinking game where you took a shot every time you They said Trump...
You would die from alcohol poisoning.
By the end of the first night.
Yes.
Yeah. Their hatred for Trump, it sounds like a really good unifying plan for me. That seems to be what it is. You know, if you look at the rioting and the looting and the constant Trump bashing, I would say that they are united in hate.
I had not seen anything so consistent negative message.
Both of us have backgrounds in music production. I thought the quality of their...
Everything just was just kind of...
Flat.
Yeah.
Flat. And
sort of,
you know, they used
lacked
Zoom,
energy.
Zoom and, you know, Zoom cameras, and it was like they were taping TVs, you know.
There really was nothing that gave me any sense of wanting to be inspired by anything. Yeah.
A little too canned, a little too rehearsed.
There was absolutely no mention whatsoever from Biden about the... riots and the violence and the destruction of property.
Yeah,
it was almost as if it was purposefully overlooked so as not to draw any attention to it. But what made it particularly horrible in my mind was to see Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon in a commentary on CNN where they had actually gotten, this was after the DNC,
just before the RNC.
Where they had commentary.
I think just before night four of the RNC.
Right. Right. So it was actually happening during the Republican National Convention that they actually came on when it was starting to be talked about in some of the more obscure news, I wouldn't even say news outlets, even opinion places, that are bringing to light the obvious avoidance of the reality of what's going on in a lot of these cities. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's
then they finally came to the determination that Biden had to speak up about it because it was starting to affect the polls and focus groups. Not that any of this was in reality, not that there was nearly $1 billion in damage, not that there was over 35 people that were killed, not that there was over, I think it's up to 900 police casualties and injuries.
Right. No. Just
the complete destruction of property.
I'm going to speak as a leader to the people of this country that are burning the country down to try to, you know, speak to that.
What it means is they are absolute political animals. They only did it because it was involved with focus groups and polls. It had nothing whatsoever to do with the reality of people's lives and what had been really happening on the ground.
The rioting has to stop. Chris, as you know, and I know, it's showing up in the polling. Mm-hmm. It's showing up in focus groups. It is the only thing right now that is sticking.
Yeah, for Biden to take advice not to speak of it at the DNC, and then to suddenly, literally an hour or two before Trump is to speak, jump out and like, oh, I got something important to say about this riot stuff, blah, blah, blah. Weak, weak. Week. And one other little point, you said it's about Biden, his own wife, when defending his dementia, said that he's a consummate
politician.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Wet your finger, hold it in the air, which way is the wind blowing?
Right. Biden says that he would mandate a federal mask mandate and lockdowns if the experts tell him to. This is a crisis that Trump recognizes needed to be handled on a state level. We've spoke to it before. Trump, unlike all previous presidents, is not using a national emergency to expand federal power. Biden is outrightly boasting the DNC that he is absolutely would plan to expand federal power and enforce a mask mandate. Right. And then Kamala Harris is cornered a couple days ago about it. She's like, well, you know, he wouldn't really enforce it. You know, it's more of a suggestion, you know. So they're already backing off from that because, again, they're licking their fingers and seeing which way the wind blows.
You would, in effect, mandate the wearing of masks.
I would do everything in my possible to make it required that people had to wear masks in public.
How would you enforce that?
It's really it's a standard. I mean, nobody's going to be punished. Come on. Nobody likes to wear a mask.
Kamala Harris has been like that her whole career.
Right.
I mean,
read in the wind. Biden said that he would trust the opinion of experts. And I remember back in the 1950s when General MacArthur, who was an expert in the military, told President Truman to nuke China during the early days of the Korean War. Truman proved he was a leader and not weak. And by doing so, he fired the so-called expert. I have no doubt if Biden was the president in the Truman administration, he would have just gone along with what the general said, and he would have nuked China, and the World War III would have been the result. And again, that is emblematic of weakness. So this reminds me of the 2008 election in a lot of ways, but in reverse, where Obama was very popular with his side, very unpopular with the other side. And then our side, the Republican Party, ran an old, dawdling fuddy-duddy. Mm. And then in an attempt to look modern and capable, he brought in kind of a wild-eyed woman, Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that did not work out very well for the McCain ticket. I believe that's exactly what the Democrats are doing right now. They brought out they dusted off a guy that has been in politics for 47 years. He ran for president, I think last podcast I said 77, I misspoke. He actually ran for president in 87. He had to get out of that race because he plagiarized John McCain, picked Sarah Palin, and she was kind of wacky. I mean, she really was. I mean, she was on our side, but not a good choice, but he chose her for the optics. You know, you had Obama, a historic ticket, and he's like, I need a historic ticket too. So he picked her. And you can't win on optics. And I think Kamala Harris was selected for optics. And I think she is their Sarah Palin. I really do. Just, we got to check off these boxes. And, you know, the wrapping is what we're looking for, but they're not thinking about the content and side the package. And
you mean they're going for symbolism over substance? Well,
no.
No, sir, not the Democrats. Not
they would never.
Not the liberal left.
Shocked at the suggestion.
I think it's just very well known at this point that Biden is not going to be the actual candidate. He is the flesh jacket.
Yeah, the Trojan horse.
Yes.
It's a perfect term for it.
Yeah. He is the flesh jacket by which the most radical and far left factions of the Democrat Party are going to wear as they wield their power.
He's an innocent looking bat on a stick.
Yeah.
And curled up inside that bat is the evil disease. As far as the RNC, I saw the commie news networks were generally using a lot of catchphrases like dark and dystopic. How dark this is. Oh, this is so dark. I personally found it to be quite positive and uplifting. I saw speaker after speaker come out. They spoke to civil liberties. They spoke to the Constitution. They spoke to COVID. They spoke to rebuilding the economy. They spoke to a lot of people spoke to the opportunities that have been provided to them through the capitalism of this country, through the
free market system and freedom in general. Right.
And a lot of them spoke directly of the effects on their lives directly related to Trump policy. I do think that Trump is a straight up going for the black vote. I mean, I think he's like, you know what? I got nothing to lose. I am, because here's how I see it. Trump doesn't need to appeal to his base. He has 90, despite what the news networks are telling us, he has 96 to 97% approval ratings with registered Republicans. He doesn't need to go for his base. It's there.
Yep. Base is locked. Yeah. Right.
He's
only gaining ground.
Right. So he has the opportunity to spend 4 days appealing to those that are traditionally not of the Republican base. And I think it was a well spent opportunity. I think he took a week really trying to show that this nation is good to people of all backgrounds and creeds and religions and races. It's, you know, that we're a good country and we're good to our people.
Absolutely.
And this is a truly a land of opportunity. You just need to take advantage of the opportunity that is provided. It isn't going to be handed to you.
You
can't sit on your fat ass and expect life to just be handed to you. You have to seize it and you have to live it and you have to use your own merits.
But I think in a strong economy, when there is opportunity abound and people can see that they can do better than just living on the least amount available,
right,
that they will jump at the chance. The ingenuity and the inspiration that's part of the American culture is right, still alive, even if it is being lied about by the greater news media and the greater entertainment industry and the greater education system. Right.
Well, by the people that want to remove opportunity and replace it with socialism. You know.
It's a power struggle.
Now, did you see any of Melania Trump's speech? I didn't know if you...
I didn't see it. I heard bits and pieces of it. And found it to be extremely inspiring. She was a showstopper and a show stealer.
Yeah. Very classy, elegant woman.
Yeah.
I think she was a model. So as far as just straight up looks, she's
not difficult to stay looking at the TV.
That's nicest looking first lady that I think I'm
probably since Jackie O.
Right. Jackie O was a gorgeous woman. Yes. I would say yes. Since Jackie O, this would be the best looking first lady. But just, she's a graceful.
You misogynist.
I really am. But she's a graceful, elegant woman. You know, and she's got a lot of class and style. Did you hear about what Bette Midler had to say about Melania
Trump? I heard it was. It was as classless and as unattractive in the other direction as it was Melania was classy, dignified,
right,
and attractive.
Yeah, she was
on the positive end.
She was ripping on her. Bette Midler was ripping on Melania about her accent. She said, I would have to dig the tweet up, and I think she was tweeting this, but it was something to like, that illegal immigrant needs to go home. She can't even string English words together, and what she can is all stupidity.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that she acted like a xenophobic racist?
That's exactly the word I wrote down. Bette Midler's racist, xenophobic comments about Melania's accent reflects the true disdain and bigotry the left feel towards the right. Right. And I wrote, they only like immigrants they can control and whom upon they can stand to elevate their own power and wealth. I find it disgusting.
It is absolutely disgusting. And that tells you exactly who these people are. They have no fear anymore of showing exactly who and what they are.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part where I have no problem calling them absolute racists.
Because we're being forced to wear masks, they've taken theirs off. We're seeing who they are now.
No doubt.
So I watched the Trump speech live. I thought it was spot on. The media is trying to rip his speech up, just like Pelosi ripped up his State of the Union address. He had a good balance. He stayed on the teleprompter, which was good. Yep. When he does speak to those important, you know, like those important speeches, State of the Union and the RNC acceptance speech, Trump has gotten better and more presidential. You know, he's presenting his argument. He's still a master showman. He knows how to throw the little jabs in just enough to, because, you know, we don't want, I don't want straight man Trump. I want I want Trump.
Everybody wants, yeah, throw off the gloves, hockey fight Trump. Right, that's
exactly
what,
you know. And you know, but I thought it was good during the acceptance speech. He had a lot he had to say. He definitely touched on the riots. He definitely touched on COVID-19. He definitely touched on the plan for the next 4 years. He spoke to the Space Force. He covered all the things you need to cover, and he did it in a very cohesive and synchromatic way that made total sense. It was easy to follow. I thought it was great. He spoke a little long, but it's his acceptance speech. You know, wasn't Bill Clinton up there rambling on for 4.5 hours or something? Did you see the fireworks show?
Bits and pieces of that too.
Holy shit! See, we watched it live, and it was like jaw dropping. It was like, damn.
Oh, I did hear a little bit of news about that. There were some trolls in the Twitter sphere that were talking about that final night, and the speech was all held on the White House lawn.
Right.
So people in the Twitterverse were getting apoplectic about the money that was spent on this, thinking it might have been taxpayer dollars because it was held on official government property. So blah, blah, blah. Turns out it was exactly wrong that for them to say that like that. Everything was covered from the RNC fund and from the Trump campaign funds.
Yeah, the campaign. Yeah, it's
campaign. Campaign paid for it all.
Campaign funding.
I mean they have to find a way to spend their $170 billion that they raised.
Biden has a campaign fund too, but they chose to go with a poor production. It was like high school play versus a Broadway play as far as production quality was concerned. After the fireworks show, there was a riot mob, and they accosted Rand Paul outside of the as he was leaving the event.
I was going to bring that up.
Right.
And it was horrible to see. Have you seen the video of that?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I didn't see any Republicans attacking Democrats leaving the Democratic National Convention. We don't do things like that. Rand Paul, he's trying to just go to his car, you know, and he said that if the police hadn't been there, he truly feels he would have been killed. These people are screaming and yelling, and they want him to, what was here? They demanded that he acknowledged Breonna Taylor. Fucking dumbasses, really, because he wrote the Justice for Breonna Taylor Act. It's a Rand Paul piece of legislation he wrote after this tragic death of Breonna Taylor, and these dumbasses are screaming and shelling, say her name, but they would have killed the guy who was the biggest proponent to taking legislative action to prevent that from happening again. You know,
are the idiots these people are.
Right.
This is why
bust in rent-a-mob animals.
Animals. Know? Right. Because there is no reasoning. There is no thinking. There is no intelligence there. There is no cohesive thought.
And because the Biden camp and the Democrats are so desperate to cobble together their base that was shattered after the way they fucked over Bernie Sanders and shit, that they are accepting all, including this animal crowd, as like under their tent because we need the votes. I think they believe that these people, these rioters, are their voting base. We don't need polls. Look at all the people that support us. That's what they see that as. Biden support.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's why he doesn't speak to it during the Democrat National Convention. He's not going to badmouth his base. You know, it'd be like Trump going out there saying, you dumb fucking idiots that want to go back to work. and then the other thing, as far as the conventions, I just had some, a couple notes on the ratings. This is the general... how it was viewed. It's being reported that more people watched the DNC, and I believe it's true that more people did watch the DNC on the commie news networks like ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, etc. But what they aren't factoring in is the vast numbers of people that watch the convention online. I personally refuse to be subjected to the pre-show spin, the during-the-show leftist fact-checking, and the post-show anti-Trump narrative. Mm-hmm. I chose to watch it a live stream from the RNC with zero commentary because I have enough brain in my head to follow along and formulate my own thoughts. And as soon as it was done, I just turned it off and reflected on what I heard first person. I think many, many people turned away from the commie news networks and watched it online. Mm-hmm. And that's why the DNC ratings were higher on the commie news networks and lower.
Well, they're self-ingratiating exactly by that.
Then. Right.
Because what they're doing is they're saying, yeah, the ratings for the DNC were great and they weren't great for the RNC. They feel that they are the source of all information and news to the public. Exactly.
Right. And so they're only factoring in their own ratings. And they're like, look, last week, more people watched the Democrats and less people watched the Republicans. Therefore, the Democrats won as far as viewership. And my takeaway is this. Hey, commie news networks, it wasn't that the people weren't watching the RNC. The people weren't watching you.
Moving on to some new subject. We're going to talk about shootings and riots, because that has been on the forefront of the news for the last week and a half, going commensurate with the conventions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to connect three things together. So let's start with the most obvious, and that is shooting of the perpetrator that was shot by police in the back. Mm-hmm. And okay, so everything is being spun and played like these were police that were hunting down a black man and shot him in the back as he was walking away.
Right.
The reality is that this is a convicted sex offender. Mm-hmm. He also had domestic charges. And the reason the police responded in the first place is because one of his sex assault victims had called the police because he showed up at her place, which she had a restraining order against him. So this is some clarity to offer to this. This is the stuff that our gaslighting mainstream news media is not telling you. He had a restraining order against him, showed up anyway, stole her keys. And then there were kids, three kids, I believe, that he took, had them in the car. She had called the police. He was getting ready to leave with the kids. Police show up and then he find out he already has a warrant out for him. He's breaking the restraining order, and he's already committed a number of misdemeanors and effectively a felony if you consider a kidnapping charge, which could have stuck because he wasn't supposed to have the kids. When they went to arrest him, he resisted.
Wow.
They tased him twice.
Never a good
idea. Didn't work.
Right.
Continued to. At that point, they drew their weapons. He said he had a knife.
Uh-huh.
He walked around to the car, opens the car door, cop goes to grab him because he's in a more vulnerable position when he's pointed away, grabs him, but only gets his shirt. Guy goes leaning into the car as if to grab something. So then they are in a position where they are like, okay, too many people are in danger here. Cops are in danger. Kids are in danger.
Yeah.
You know, what do? Let this guy drive off with the kids?
No. You don't let him drive off the kids.
Do you let him go into the car and maybe get something more than a knife?
You don't give the guy an opportunity to kill people.
There is a point in time where when you try every other method possible to detain this individual that needs to be detained based on all the real evidence that's available, this guy forfeits his right to life. Now, let me differentiate by saying, that doesn't mean he deserves to die. That doesn't mean he deserves to get shot. What it means is when you are talking about the life and safety of other people in the area, meaning the police, the kids, the victim that called the cops in the first place, she called them. It wasn't like they were going around hunting, looking for people. His life becomes forfeit at the point that he has this severe potential danger to other people's lives around him, including the police. And he is the one that forced them into an untenable position to have to make the most difficult decision of their lives to pull the trigger and to stop him from proceeding any further toward imminent danger.
Yeah, I think.
And come to find out, there was a knife in the floorboard of the car.
So he had a weapon in the car.
I will put forth that it has absolutely nothing to do with him being black.
No.
Zero. No, anybody who thinks it does is delusional. Because I will tell you that if it were you or me, yeah, as white, old, Republican men
who are straight, we would have been shot, too.
We would have been shot, too.
Yeah, we would have been shot. Only an idiot.
I almost would have expected that they would shoot.
Well, they used to call that death by cop.
And this is the problem. This is where riots that started, the burning down of car dealerships, the destruction of that town, mm-hmm, in Wisconsin,
right,
was all perpetrated on a lie.
Right.
So let me contrast that to, mm-hmm, a development that happened shortly afterward.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, now there's in Kenosha. It's Kenosha.
Okay.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of the city in the United States located in the state of Wisconsin. How do you go about pronouncing it? Kenosha.
Kenosha.
Well, it's pronounced, okay, Kenosha.
Kenosha.
All right, so
we had to be told by a guy with a foreign accent
how to say an American city name. That's public education for you.
now we're worms of the worst type.
Now we're even lower than worms. So Kenosha.
Okay. Kenosha. Okay, so that sparked the riots in Kenosha.
Right.
So the riots were sparked on a lie. And then another shooting happened during the riots. And that was a 17-year-old, mm-hmm, that was in the riots, had a semi-automatic rifle, mm-hmm, with him. And during altercations in the riots, three people were shot by him, two died.
Okay, yeah.
So, again, the narrative gets misconstrued.
White racist killing peaceful protesters, right?
Except the facts don't support that. As it turns out, when you begin to dive into the actual legal standards and the legality of what really happened, he was actually rendering aid to some of the protesters. I don't know if they were rioters, but he was actually rendering aid to some of the protesters.
Right.
When he was identified and chased down, as he was running away from one of the protesters, rioters, mm-hmm, actually, he wasn't a protester, he was a rioter. There was, in the video, the sound of a gunshot. Mm. There was no muzzle flare from his gun. In fact, he wasn't even aiming it that way.
Right.
And then, as he turns, fires on the guy that's chasing him down.
Right.
And strikes him, and that guy unfortunately dies. So, at which point he returns, tries to render aid, gets on his phone, makes a 911 call, mm-hmm, but then runs from the scene because there's another crowd now chasing him again.
Wow, right.
He's running from that crowd, falls, where two individuals then assault him, one of them smashing him with a skateboard.
Right.
He fires again, striking another individual and killing one, and I think the other one got injured.
Yeah.
What's disturbing about the scenario is that everything has become a knee-jerk reaction. It was stated in such a way so that the news media could create the narrative that, oh, here are armed far-right vigilantes
right,
coming in from out of state to interject themselves into this
right,
scenario. So that became the unstated narrative conclusion number one that the news media wanted you to believe. Right. The other is there is no video evidence of him asserting any aggressive behavior toward rioters.
Mm-hmm.
Everything leading up to and the point of the shooting was everything about people pursuing him.
Right. Yeah.
You need to take an objective look at the circumstances as they actually laid out. And the lack of doing that shows the anarchical nature of what these groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter are really trying to do.
Right. And the recklessness of the media to immediately convict the person that best fits their narrative, and they're not giving the opportunity for our judicial system. In both cases,
mm-hmm,
the cops that shot the guy in the back and the kid that defended himself in the street.
It is a public rush to judgment that is being fueled, mm-hmm, and accelerated by an irresponsible, derelict news media.
Right.
Let me segue to the third shooting.
Okay.
Now. So now there's a third one I had to come with.
All right.
This one happened just a short time ago. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. A straight up assassination, and one that was specifically aimed at a Trump supporter. So, as the story goes, there was, I don't know if it was after a rally or it was a pro-Trump rally, what the case may be, one of the someone leaving that area, and there were Black Lives Matter Antifa people. In the video, you can hear the Antifa guy or the Black Lives Matter guy. He's saying, hey, we got one over here. There's a Trumper over here. Get that Trump MF-er. And then immediately upon saying that, crack, crack, two gunshots straight to the chest of that guy, murdered in the street just like that.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I hadn't heard this one. This
just is, right? All they did was assume he was a Trump supporter, said, hey, we've got one over here.
And just straight up
ran right up to him, straight up shot him dead in the street.
Yeah,
and that's first degree murder.
Yeah, that is murder.
That is, and it's on the video, first degree murder. Now, the guy was arrested and detained and actually told the cops he is a straight up Antifa member.
Okay.
The sad part is, it's the first you're hearing about it.
Right.
And you actually will go and see or seek out sources of information and media that are not from the mainstream left.
Well,
what does that tell us?
Well,
what does that tell us? When that story, you're talking about a rioter that straight up walked up to somebody, said, we've got one over here. And there's a Trumper right, crack, crack.
Right.
And that is, I mean, how does one process that event happened?
Right.
And was effectively ignored.
And again, it doesn't fit the narrative, so
never,
it won't be covered.
Never made main news in terms of any significant reporting.
Wow.
Now you got my three shooting stories.
Right.
And the contrast about how each of them took on a narrative or a non-narrative.
Right. How it's covered in the media.
So, and this is why I appeal to, you know, both of our listeners out there. Mm-hmm. All three of you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for supporting us.
Thank you for being, you're a wonderful audience.
You're really audience. We love our audience. But you're right. We got three distinct scenarios. Two of them being spun that fits the narrative because they have enough that they can spin it. A third one, they can't spin to fit their narrative.
So it just becomes some sideline reporting.
It just gets ignored. We'll just leave that over here.
This is why I have got zero, like not even a shred, just zero belief and trust in anything that the news media has to say.
Yeah, neither do I. I've lost all respect for journalism, you know, and that's the problem.
It's not even journalism. Well, it's not even yellow journalism.
Right. There was a time. Right.
It's
not
even
propaganda.
Yeah, it's propaganda. I was going to say it's not even what do you call it? Like National Enquirer, or the National Examiner. What do you call those rags?
Oh shit! There was a word for it.
Yeah. What is that word that they used to call those things?
Not pornography. Tabloid.
Right. So this is, it's not journalism. It's not even yellow journalism. It's not even tabloid. It's propaganda. That's what it's gotten to. Now, those are your four levels of information through news. And I'm using my bunny ears again.
Right.
Through news sources. And that's what it's devolved to.
Well, that's why
it has now become straight up propaganda.
That's why I've been jokingly calling them the Commie News Network through this whole podcast, because it's true. There was a time when journalism was so respected that many considered it the unofficial fourth branch of our government. Well, they started leaning more and more left over the last 30 to 40 years. And a lot of people were aware of it. In the last several big campaigns, you heard terms like lamestream media and things like that. But I think when Trump won, they just ripped their facade of journalism right off and went right for full propaganda. Now we're seeing what they really are. And they are a propaganda tool for radical leftist socialist groups. And
that's exactly what they are. That's what they become.
Which is why, going back to the RNC, DNC, that's why less people watch the Republican convention on these networks is because everybody wanted to go to a source that didn't have the propaganda spin. That's what I did. So thirsty. I'm all dry and my mouth is all...
You hear that nice glass?
Yeah, clinkle tinkle. Clinkle tinkle.
You'd think that they were beer.
Yeah.
They're fuzzy like beer.
Fuzzy like beer in there.
But oh, I think you. I did. I'm going to continue to appropriate it.
Oh, that's a nice sound.
Oh, that's a great sound.
It was almost
even if it is a nice sparkling mineral that's water.
Good for a change. We can't do these.
But tell me honestly, the flavor of this is really amazing for water.
Ah, there
it's because
go.
It's a natural source mineral water that's here's lightly you, carbonated. Sir. Thank you, sir.
You know it is. It's good. Mm. And it's purifying.
Mm. Mm. I can only imagine if you throw a little wedge of lime or that'd lemon in there. Good.
Or a couple shots of VO. Yeah, let's wash that dirtiness.
I got to get that shit out of my mouth now.
My mouth. Mm. I'm wondering if I'm wondering if maybe you might have brought a joke.
He did. Oh, I stole another joke.
I almost pooped in my pants. The excitement.
So excited.
Did you steal it?
All my jokes are stolen.
Same here.
I am not a
joke writer.
I am horrible when it comes to knowing and remembering jokes. So unless the joke was told to me in the last 48 hours,
you can't.
I lose it.
What is it?
Okay. Woman goes in for a vagiplasty.
Okay.
Because she's got a little extra down there. And she,
right.
She wanted a refresher. It was a little abundant.
Abundant, good word.
And she needed, and she wished to have it taken care of. Right. But she was, understandably, wanted to be very discreet about it and a little embarrassed by her thing. So she went to see the surgeon about this, and said, he said, yeah, we can do surgery for that. We can, you know, get you to the state that you'd like to be in.
Right.
And she said, okay, I'll go ahead and go forward, but I really do not want a whole OR of doctors and nurses sitting there staring at my lady parts while we do this. I don't even want people knowing that I'm having it done. This is between you and me. We're keeping this.
Right.
Can you please honor my wishes? Mm-hmm. And he says, yes, certainly. I can do that. This is a simple procedure. I'll have the anesthesiologist come in. They'll take care of you, and then they can leave. I can do the procedure. They can come back. We don't even have to tell them what the procedure's for. She says, great. That's great. So she goes in for the surgery. Everything goes successfully, and she's in recovery. And the doctor comes to see her, and as she's coming out of recovery, says, how are you feeling? And she goes, well, I'm feeling okay. And she looks over at the table, and she sees three roses on the table. And she gets a little upset with the surgeon, says, well, doctor, you promised me that it was just going to be you and me in here. I'm seeing three roses. What is this all about? He goes, well, it goes, look, I just wanted to tell you. The first rose, that one's from me, that you were a good patient. Everything was good and successful. The second rose was from the gift shop. You get a 2-for-1. So, you know, so I decided you might as well have the second rose. The third one was from the burn unit upstairs. The guy wanted to thank you for his new ears.
Oh, my God. Here's an image. Oh, wow. Nasty. You know, I really, really hate double standards. You know, because, for example, if you burn a body in a crematorium, you're being respectful to a friend, you know, and that's one way of looking at it. But if you do the same thing in your home, they call it, quote unquote, destroying evidence, whatever. I just found out that my grandmother is going to be voting straight Democrat this year.
How unfortunate.
You know how pissed she'd be if she were alive today?
That's a good one.
That's what I got.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, so it was a good little romp, yep. romp here. A little more sober, literally, figuratively, vocally. I think we were a little more sober today. We won't let that happen again.
Oh, God forbid we God ever forbid. Take anything seriously.
This is almost like a job today. Oh. Like, oh.
It's kind of like work.
And if Felix has to stock the mini bar, we need a mini bar.
He might actually have to start paying us.
I think so. So I'm wondering if you may have any closing thoughts as we conclude today's epic episode of the Felix Umbridge Show.
Yeah, simple closing thought.
Mm-hmm.
Do not believe everything you hear all the time the first time you hear it. Use your own minds, for crying out loud. Please use your own minds.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a thought here. So the day after Election Day, half of this country, one side or the other, is going to be absolutely shocked and pissed, one side or the other. If Trump wins this election, the left is going to riot and loot and burn and commit murder and continue to prove that they've lost all control of their radical factions. It will come under control because Trump will have nothing to lose at that point, but they are going to go nuts when Trump wins. In contrast, if Biden wins, I guarantee the right will be pissed, but I promise you, you won't see burning. You won't see looting. You won't see murder. You won't see harm brought to our cities. Either way, Biden or Trump, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to have a little smirk on my face, and I'm going to say with confidence, see, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to close on that right there.
Very smart. Right. Sage words.
Uh-huh. So we'll see. We'll see in a month. So that's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's done.
It's done.
Fine libations.
Fine libations.
Said it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I think I got to pee. Too much water.
You're right. This does need a little VO in it. Maybe a lot of VO.
Maybe a lot of VO. We are out of here. Cool.
Those humans are going to kill us and eat us. Let's run.